December 16th, 2018. So let's continue in Derech Hashem this morning, right, in Chelek Aleph and Perek Gimal. And today we're going to blitz through from Ot Gimal through Ot Het. I'll mention very briefly at the beginning, because we will return to this over the course of, it's one point during the class. At the end of the class last week, at the very, very end of the class, so we mentioned that concept, which was really, to a certain extent, the natural progression of what we were going to get to. And we read it from Mesha Chochmah, that to a certain extent, the ideal that we strive for, which again, we won't arrive at, is being able to negate and do away with any Bechira Chofshit. And of course, the concept that underlies that is, although man is by definition a person who chooses and works to perfect himself, it means that you came to the state of Devekut Bahashem if you no longer need that Bechira. You're actually there. The Bechira is what gives you that Shlemut. If you got there, there's no longer any Bechira. So Meshech Chochmah, if you recall, was bringing paradigm from Moshe Rabbeinu, and he had his own logical explanation to how he explained that. When we concluded, Itai Lahav asked me the following questions, very, very basically, maybe it was in the class, I don't remember. So he said, but wait a second, but Moshe, later in his life, or a point in his life, has this Het Memeriva. Now explain it as you like, one of the, 700 interpretations to where he went wrong. But he did something wrong. The text is certainly critical of him. And as such, if he didn't have Bechira Chofshit, how was that possible? How do you come to a state of sinning or doing wrong if you don't have that Bechira Chofshit, if you've come into that state of Devekut? So we'll hopefully be able to address that over the course of this class through the progression. We'll do it through Adam HaRishon. That's exactly how we'll get there. So anyway, here Ramchal continues in Derech Hashem. Let's pick up here in Ot Gimal. Ve'omnam, gazar tubo yitbarach shemo shiye gevul lahishtadelut hazeh hamisarech la'adam nahasik hashlemut. וכשהשלים השתדלותו, ישיג שלמותו וינוח בהנאתו לנצח נצחים. Says Ramchal, says that there is a gevul, which means there's a border, there's a limit to our hishtadlut. In other words, we have this constant, battle, war, effort between our Gashmi and Ruhani side over the course of our lives. And says, but that comes to a certain extent, and then it's done. And at that point, yanuach b'hana'ato l'netzach netzachim. At that point, you have this netzach netzachim, this endless time during which you're yanuach, during which you have that menucha in the shlemut that you attained. Of course, he's referring to over here, olam haba. Al ken hu hakulo shene zemanim. He says, therefore, there are two times. Ehad zman ha'avoda, that's our efforts in this world and battling and in that conflict and dealing with the Gashmi and the Ruhani. Again, a point which we stressed and we'll come back to this week as well, was a point that we spoke about at the beginning and at the end of last week's class. And that was, in contradistinction to someone like Harambam, who would say, listen, you have your Gashmi side, suppress that, do away with that. Bring out your Ruhani, bring out your Sikhli. Ramchal is very much in terms of this non-dual approach to matters. It's not the purpose. The purpose is having the Ruhani define your Gashmi. It means my physical, material manifestations need to be tinted or defined by my spiritual aspirations. In fact, Jack quoted, without knowing perhaps, quoted from what Ramchal will say. We won't read it this week, but he states it a little bit later in Perek Gimal, and as he talks about Tachiyat HaMetim, Ramchal will talk about Tachiyat HaMetim being one of these ideal times in man's existence. Now, what is Tachiyat HaMetim? If he's right now talking about Olam Haba, which he's going to describe as a time where we lose our material manifestations or material aspects, so what's Tachiyat HaMetim? It's a time during which you regain the physical, but you merge it, hopefully successfully, with your spiritual. Which means to say, there's this stop-off of time, very different than Harambam's type of conception of these matters. So we'll get there when we get there, but keep in mind, what he's describing right now is life is this constant battle. Life ends, as much shlemut as you attained, then you have this time beyond time, or this place beyond time, during which you'll be able to soak in that hana'ah, that dvekut, and so forth. Then there'll be a recoming, that's the tchiyat ha-metim, during which you'll actually be looking for the ideal. What's the ideal? Not just ruhani, it's ruhani coupled together with the Gashmi, because they are supposed to be one and the same. Okay, so says Ramchal in getting there, hadzman avodah, that's this world, ve'hadzman kibul ha-sechar, ve'ulam, midat ha-tob meruba, she'ha-avodah yesh la-zeman mechukak, kemo she-gazra chokmato yitbarach shemo, היותו נאות לזה וקיבול השכר אין לו תכלית אלא לנצח נצחים, הוא מתענג והולך בשלמות אשר קנה לו.
He's reiterating in different words, one or two different nuances, but the statement again being, we don't have eternal life and we will not have a perpetual existence in order to deal with this battle. This effort is Olam Hazeh, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midat Tubo. It's his goodness in deciding that. It's a point we've discussed in the past as well, and that is the fact that we have limited time forces us to look to perfect ourselves quicker. If you had unlimited time, if you were that Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet, for example, where you have that promise of eternal life, well, it's tomorrow that I'll work on that dveikut. Midat tuvo means there's a kitzvah, means there's a specific time where this ends. Yes, David.
So, he's saying that there's a development for the neshama as well, meaning if you spend Olam Hazeh sort of stuck in the gashmi, your ruchani doesn't develop, and so when you go to Olam Haba, it's
diminished. Matured. That's right. Yeah.
Not that it's perfect from the start, and it's...
Yes, that's the statement. Mit'aneg veholech bashlemut asher kana lo. In the shlemut that you attained.
But that would be different than say, like a Rav Kook type of philosophy, no? Where Rav Kook would say that is your kernel of perfection, or your kernel of good, or God's... The element of divinity that is within you.
But was unrealized, and what's going to happen afterwards if it was unrealized?
It sort of loses its shell, and the fruit
and
still
some,
remains.
Meaning every
neshama comes into Olam Haba, so sort of
equal,
back into its perfection.
And there's that equal state. Is that of course?
I don't know. And that would fit in with what he says about how everybody has an element of.
I know, but I think it's about in some way, and we'll have to return to it and be able to say it finer. But in some way, it's about how you cultivate it.
But you're going to create a different issue, which is that you're then now, if that is the divine element within you, you're now affecting it through your... But that's very, very hard, because it's almost the same
but
way
the
that
kernel,
Rambam says that you
so
can't...
So David's argument is like this. Listen, if the kernel is perfect, which even Ramchal will agree to, but is shrouded by... the olam de peruda, right? Alma de peruda, by the facade of separateness in this world,
yeah.
It's clouded.
It's clouded.
So his argument is after death, there's no longer any cloud. The veil is lifted, and as a result, you have that dvekut. Statement of Ramchal is not so. The veil is lifted, and you...
No, Adam HaRishon had advancement. He had to advance. He wasn't perfect.
Yeah, but Adam HaRishon had a body. Is my
his
point.
Argument
but
is
my argument
out,
is more
outside of this world.
Using Maimonidean approach, because Maimonides says
who
you
said
can't
Adam
affect.
Adam HaRishon had a body.
Well, Ramchal will. Yeah, against Zohar. We're well aware.
Because if Rambam says that you can't affect the divine, right? That you can't change that divine, right? Then how could? If there's an element of that within you, how could you make the argument that you can change?
Yeah, I understand the question.
I think it's clarity.
I hear you.
It's a collection of the fruits, like you mentioned, right? The fruits exist. You're clustering them, and you're making it more clear. As you can't
but
change.
His argument is the veil is only because of Olam Hazeh. If it's only because of Olam Hazeh, so how's the what's separating?
If there's no veil, you can't exist. That's my. If you even in the Gan Eden, Olam Haba, you won't exist without a particular veil. It might be very thin.
Okay,
but
the question is, how do we define
it's
that?
It's impossible
okay.
for nothing to exist.
Understood. All right, we'll have to.
If it's in its pristine state,
we'll have to refine.
Then nothing else could exist.
I gotcha. The question is conceptually, what is that? Okay, well, od hazon lamoed, hopefully. Ve'olam. Kefi yithalef zemano, ken kach ra'uy sheyithalef matzavo u'she'ar mikrav. ככל זמן ההשתדלות, הנה צריך שיהיה בתכונה אחת שיוכלו למצוא בו כל העניינים המצטרכים לו לפי עניין ההשתדלות הזה. He says, based on whether you're in עולם הבא, עולם הזה, as a result of that, your surroundings and anything that you come in contact with and your own challenges and your own build-up is going to be defined accordingly. So therefore, when you're in this world, פירוש, כי הנה הוא מוכרח,
By definition, our life in this world, our existence in this world, is about that conflict. So therefore, perforce, there must be in this world both Gashmi and Sichli, because otherwise, we're not working towards Shlemut. If you're not working towards Shlemut, then what are you doing here? There can't be anything innate and natural that prevents your material drives. And on the flip side, there can't be anything in the natural world that prevents completely the advancement of your spiritual endeavors, which means to say, of course, and this world has to have full and complete between Gashmi and Ruchani. You will not have anything that will cause without your consent, let's say, hedonistic desires to be progressing. In other words, the material side of you, it's only based on your volition. V'gam lo yigrom, and the flip side as well is true as well. La'sech le'tchazek yoter min ha'ra'uy. Ki FLP shemitzad echad haya nira ze yoter tov. Even though life would seem greater and better, more perfect, if we were driven naturally, if the world thrusted us in the direction of spirituality. Hine lefia kavanah amitit. This is, as we've discussed in the past, kavanat Hashem kivyachol, the way that God wanted us to come about in this world was through our own endeavors. The only way to be considered shalem, the only way to be davek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means that we attain shlemut. The only way you attain shlemut is if it was you doing so. Shukniyat shlemut vishtadluto inenu tob. Ubizman kibul hasachar, hine ra'ui lo shiye b'masav hafchil hazeh. He says, now he crosses over into Olam Haba. He says, when we're in Olam Haba, when you're beyond the world of physicality, now you're going to have an opposite dimension. In such a circumstance, in such a reality, there's no longer Homer that's appropriate. You no longer should have anything physical in that realm. Again, this is not Tchiyat HaMitim. This is Olam Haba he's describing. We'll talk about Tchiyat HaMitim separately. He says, if I am living in a realm where I'm supposed to have just that Hana'a and that Oneg of the Ruhani, so any Gashmi is going to be stopping that. Any Gashmi is going to be negating that. Valken hine ra'uihu shelot tishlot az ela ha'neshama. It says the only domineering force will be our neshama. Va'homer yiyeh nimshach ahareh legamre ba'ofen shelo ya'akev al yadah kelal. And he says, and the homer, and this is an interesting statement, this is what Jack was referencing to a certain extent just a second ago. He says the homer will in some way exist. We're not going to have an actual homriyut. It says it will some way exist, but it won't be me'akev, which is a strange line, right? It won't hold back, it won't prevent the shining of the ruhani, but it will still exist. That's what we're teasing out. That's, I don't know how to fully say this in a cogent fashion. That's the answer to David. It's the suggestion of Jack. I don't know how to fully explain the ve'omnam al ken nivru shnei ha'olamot olam hazeh ve'olam haba. Olam hazeh ha'makom ve'ahukim hativeim shelo hem masheraui la'adam kol zman hishtadlut ha'olam haba ha'makom ve'ahukim shelo hem masheraui lo bizman kibul ha'sachar. And then it's most basic formulation. Olam hazeh is the Makom HaAvodah. That's what we're working. That's the Hishtadlut place. And Olam Haba is a place of Kibul Sachar. Umima, he continues in He, Sheyistarech od ladat, Shehine hamin ha'enoshi, En inyano harishon kmo she'anu ro'im u'mavchinun oto ata. He says, you should know that the human species is not as we know it now. Ki ulam shinui gadol hayabo. So now is where he's bringing us back to Adam HaRishon, Het Adam HaRishon. And he says, and there was, a man underwent a major change.
Physical?
The who, well, he'll describe it, give him a chance. It's hard to define exactly what physical is, but I would say yes is my answer to that. Not in terms of how we appear, but in terms of our desires, let's use that word. Vehu inyan het oshel Adam HaRishon. This is, now we're going to talk about the concept of Adam. Shenishtana bo ha'adam ve'ha'olam mima shehayu batechila. By man, by Adam's sin, man and the world both underwent a major change. Okay, well, he's going to have to, that's a tall order to explain. Ve'olam pratei ha'shinui ha'zev toldotehem rabim. It says there are many details branches that lead out from describing this change. Ve'od nedaber bam lefanim, and we will explain them in just a bit. B'si'ata d'shmaya. V'nimsa sh'adibur b'min ha'enoshi v'avchana b'nisu'av kfulim. Ki yidubar bo b'nisu'av b'chinato kodem achet. So if I want to talk about man, and I want to talk about the essence of man, I have to talk about it in a double fashion. Prior to eating from Eitz HaDaat, and after v'idubar bo b'nisu'av b'mchinato achar achet. Kmo sh'nevarer od be'ezrat Hashem. Of course, any good Kabbalist we know is going to go in such a direction as having this demarcating stage of eating from Eitz HaDaat. Of course, conceptually, we'll have to understand how this affects us. Why do I care about what it was prior and after? And what is this going to mean for us practically in terms of our approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world? Well, we'll be able to spend plenty of time on the Hineh. Adam HaRishon ve'ait yisirato haya mamash be'oto ha'masa she'zacharnu ad hena. Right, so there's the answer to you, Jack, what you said earlier. Contrary to what some Kabbalists will tell you, Adam HaRishon was a physical and spiritual being, much like us. De'haynu she'hineh hu haya murkav mishnei ha'halakim ha'evchayim she'amarnu. He had this dialectic. He was a person who had ha'neshama ve'aguf. U'bamesiyut hayu shnei ha'inyanim. And as a result of guf and neshama, there were two concepts, hatov hara, v'u'amed b'shikul b'nehem. And it was his job to be able to stand at the center and to scale them appropriately, hidavek b'mashi yaseh mehem, and to be able to attach himself to the appropriate matter. V'hine, hayara uilo. Now again, pause for a second. Why would Ramchal be telling us that?
That's the state you want to get to.
Because that's the ideal state, right? That comes back to, Ezra's not here this week, but that comes back to the conversation at the beginning of last week's class, right? For Ramchal, in a non-dual, right, a non-double, there's not two state of vision, there's no such thing as just Ruhani. Just Ruhani means it's dominating or it's defining the Gashmi. You're not looking for that ascetic reality. You're looking for a reality in which the spirituality, we'll call it the neshama, defines the goof. And he says that was Adam. And of course, Adam should have been able to cultivate himself to that state. He could have and should have come to that state of shlemut, which we all strive for. And as a result of that, he wouldn't need this olam haba. He would have had eternal menucha with that state of equilibrium, with that state of shlemut.
So Adam Rishon, in this view, before Eitz HaDaat, had free choice.
Yes, absolutely.
But was always supposed to only choose tov.
Absolutely.
But then how is it free choice?
What do you mean? How do we have free choice? We're supposed to choose tov as well.
Yeah, but he almost seems like he naturally should have chose.
No. He says he's exactly like us.
Okay.
So far. V'sarich she'teda. I mean, we will deal with Ramban Nachmani's statement that he didn't have Bechira Chofshit. It will link us, of course, to Itai's question from last week. That'll be the culmination of the class to a certain extent.
And what is this V'nachmani?
That's the description of Olam Haba for us. It's the description of Olam Hazeh for Adam HaRishon. He would be able to have... Well, he was going to be immortal, according to the description of the Torah, but that immortal state would be in Shlemut, in Dvekut. Yeah. I mean, again, that's...
And children, and every person that came thereafter, similarly...
I don't know the full answer to that question. Yeah,
I thought it's immortality because he has access to the Eitz HaChayim.
This is prior to eating from Eitz HaChayim. There has been no eating. Maybe he would eat from Eitz HaChayim, but his question, I understand, we never ate from Eitz HaChayim. The question is what that means, Eitz HaChayim. But even if he were to eat from Eitz HaChayim, all his children could eat from it as well. Yes, in the description of the storyline, Danny already fills us in, I mean, David knows this as well, right, is that Adam was supposed to come to the state of eating from Eitz HaChayim. He was supposed to eat from Eitz HaChayim. It was the Eitz HaDaat which threw him all off. The question is exactly how we square this in terms of where this leaves us. V'sarich she'teda. What do you want to say from Zohar?
I'm saying, is the Zohar clear that there was no
goof? There's Zohar that talks about them just being or and not having shadows. Are you familiar with this? Right. And the creation of shadows was after Eitz HaDaat. Sounds pretty non-body-like. Certainly that's the way it's set over. I haven't studied it in depth to be able to give a definitive answer to that. V'sarich she'teda. She'af al-pi, maybe it's not even Zohar, maybe it's one of the other Mekubel. That's how they generally say in the Kabbalistic circles. Oftentimes you have that statement that there was no Gashmi prior to eating.
V'sarich she'teda she'af al-pi she'en anu margishim la'neshama baguf pe'ula acheret zulat ha'chiyut ve'ha'askala hine be'emet yesh be'chuka she'tezakech עצם הגוף וחומרו תעלהו עילוי אחר עילוי עד שיהיה ראוי להתלוות עמה בנה בשלמות.
This is what we're expecting to go in this direction based on what we've been talking about. It's a shame I couldn't yell this last week. But I mean, here he is. He's saying it black on white, although he's been saying it throughout. But now it's as clear as it can be. He says, prior to going forward, you have to understand Nishama and Guf have this non-dual state of being during which they shouldn't be negating one another. Ve'omnam ledavar ze haya adam rishon magia ilu lo chata. He would, had he not sinned, been able to come to the state of shlemut, which is the ability to have that ruhaniyut and gashmiyut, have that coexistence. Shahita nishmato mezakechet et gufo. Lezakech means to purify. His neshama would purify his homer, his guf. Zikuch achar zikuch. Ad shaya mizdakech hashi'ur hamitztarech. Ve'nikba' beta'anug hanitzhi. Until he would be able to get that eternal ta'anug, which of course means dvekut, shlemut. Now, key paragraph, and that's why I brought us up to Chet and not beyond for this week.
Vekevan shehata. Adam harishon. Nishtanu advarim shinui gadol.
He told us just a few seconds ago that he's going, that after eating, something changed. There was a colossal, cataclysmic change. That's the word. Whatever. This giant change. What? Vehu.
Kinei batehila. היו בבריאה החסרונות שהיו בשיעור מה שהיה מצטרך לשיהיה אדם הראשון במצב השיקול שזכרנו.
This is prior to eating. So existence had חסרונות, which means it had the deficiencies, it had the ra, it had the homer, in order for man to, on his own merits and his own endeavors, come to שלמות.
ויהיה לו מקום להרוויח את השלמות ביגיע כפיו.
Okay. אומנם. Al yedei cheto, by sinning, nosvu venitrabu hesronot be'atzmo shel adam ubaberia kula. Ve'od nitkasha hatikun mima shehaya kodem.
What does that line mean?
By sinning, nosvu, lehosif means more, nitrabu, there was more, the job became harder, by there being more difficulties. Now the difficulties, in the words of Jack, were internalized. Be'atzmo shel adam. Perush. So in other words, the description is, whereas prior, the deficiencies we mean homer, we mean they were external, and by eating they became internal. That is, over the course of the next paragraph, that's what we're going to read about. That's the statement. Well, question is what that means.
Go ahead, we learn something like this about with Rambam, that what's the da'at before, and then you said it was relative to other people in the world.
Yes, emet and sheker and tov and ra.
Right. So relative. So isn't this where it's...
Is this similar to that, you want to know?
I would understand it that before he ate, it was all everything.
The objective truth became subjective.
Right. I know. This is probably how you were reared, Jack. I'm not certain it's the same thing. I'll explain at a different point, but I hear where you're going. You know, Joey's trying to just draw some sort of similarity. It's different. Of course it's different.
It also doesn't make any sense, because if he had Bechida beforehand, that means that he already had an internal struggle.
So the argument, and I'm gonna tell it to you right now before we read a few more sources to get to it and refine it a little bit more. The argument goes like this. Listen, we as human beings have and must have from our inception Bechira Chofshit. There was no such thing as Biryat Adam if he wasn't a malach without Bechira Chofshit. The question is my inclination. And that's what I think the best way to interpret this in terms of internal or external. What are you inclined to? And what is it that you need to overcome to make your way toward? And that means to say, I like to portray this. The last time I said it, I did it in this fashion. In one of the yeshivot I learned, the mashgiach once made the following analysis. I happen to not agree with the analysis, but nonetheless, I think it portrays a certain point. He says, we as human beings living in this world have difficulty just attaching ourselves in an innate fashion to ruhaniyut, to the spiritual side of matters. He says, for example, when we're in the thick of involvement in spirituality, look around the Beit Midrash, he said. Everyone's touching their peot, they're touching their bodies, everyone's playing with their pens. They can't rid themselves of the Gashmi and go full force into that Ruhani. That, what he was, whether that's the truth, why we do that or not, I'm not certain. But whether the concept, I think, is one in which we live in a material world, so we are innately drawn to materialism. It's more difficult to transform the material and turn it into a spiritual. The description of Adam prior and after is, I think that's the difference. What's internal, what's external?
I think the drives were external.
What does that mean?
Whatever that means.
I'm sorry, I'm descriptive.
Was external.
But what does that mean, it was external?
So I look at,
was it, if he had Homer,
is only drives.
But if he had Homer, he had, quote, Ra as a part of it. He just wasn't, he was driven. That's how I understand this difference between external and internal. Give me a chance to prove it more. The difference between internal and external is, what is your innate drive? Where are you?
Okay, so that was an answer. But innate drive is... Go ahead. Bechida Chavshi, in order to be truly Chavshi, has to be a 50-50 coin toss, right?
Right.
So if you have a weighted coin,
right.
That's not...
So
what
David now is saying, and I agree with you, is that, and that's my understanding here, and I'm going to show you, I think others agree with me, Adam HaRishon did not have, and that's what Ramban, I'm already blowing that punchline, that's what Ramban meant. When Ramban Nachmani writes in his Perush al Torah that Adam HaRishon didn't have Bechira Chofshit, I mean, he didn't actually have Bechira. He couldn't have sinned if he didn't have Bechira. Abad Benel screams at him, what the heck are you talking about? The description of Ramban Nachmani is along these lines, is listen, he had a diminished state of Bechira Chofshit, which we do as well. Ours is just in the opposite direction. So yes, there's no 50-50, and there never has been, is the basic description. He was more inclined to do the, quote, right thing, and we are more inclined to do, quote, the wrong thing. And that's
what makes it
sicker. There's no real choice.
There is a choice, because he couldn't have sinned if there was no choice.
Effectively, there are no choices.
Okay, now, and the description, of course, will be the sin is self-transformative. In other words, by going after it, he changed his own nature.
I wanted to ask that. So the whole statement we say, he's evil from his...
But that's what it is.
Youth.
From Adam.
That statement was after...
Adam?
Adam.
Of course.
Yeah.
Kihine Kohen.
We're also like on one different, I think that was between Rambam and this opinion is we said Rambam in Rambam's view he sinned as soon as he thought, what if I eat it? Like it was here it's saying the change happens
no,
from the physical.
I don't know one way or another. I can't tell you I can't tell you definitively Rambam wouldn't agree with that as well. It may have been the same thing for Ramchal. It was conceptually the decision to go forth, that's what changed it.
Not the actual.
Yeah.
But this the tree was the same.
Yeah, right. You know, I don't think Ramchal would overdo that if you pressed him on. Perush kihine batechila haya nekal lo latzet min hachaseron amutba bo veliknot hashlemut. There's his statement. It was easier for him to get away from the chaseron, from deficiencies, and to get to shlemut. Shekach sidra chokma elyona et devarim al pi midat hatov vehayosher. That was the way God built it. Kiyan lo haya adam v'siba larad v'lechaseron shebo elo shekach utba bo b'yisirato hine b'ma sheyasir atzmo. Okay, we're familiar with this. He keeps repeating this because it's an important point. We have chisronot in this world. We have evil in this world in order for us to get to shlemut. By the way, pause for a second. I'll give you the last detail of this class because we could do it all at this point and then kind of breeze through it over the course of seeing it inside. Wait a second. So then if we were to try to pinpoint a motive for Adam HaRishon, well, what was his motive in going after this Eitz HaDa'at Tov HaRa? It potentially his motive is, well, David's very annoyed. Jack's a little bit annoyed as well. Well, it wasn't real Bechira Chofshit. If it wasn't real Bechira Chofshit, man was tilted toward the Tov. Well, to a certain extent, that process was diminished. In order for us to achieve what Ramchal is describing as the ultimate shlemut, we need to be further away. We need to be inclined the opposite way in order to... Why not?
So
if you're all right on...
greater achievement here than Adam.
So it's almost an avera lishma. I'm suggesting here at this point already.
It's crazy. That's true.
This is my Kabbalistic
Kabbalistic
conception of the entirety of this thing, and I'll show it to you through the sources that I'm familiar with. I mentioned one to you on Yom Kippur this year. I mentioned one in a speech on Yom Kippur this year without saying it. Omnam behetoh. Oh, it might ring a bell to others. It might not. The masteries were in here anyway. Kevan she'al yado nistera hashlemut yoter mishahayeta v'nitrabu achesronot hayahu agorem ra'a le'atzmo hine lo ye'od kol kach kal lo lashuv latzed min achesron l'knot hashlemut. Once we altered our reality, or man altered his reality, well, the inclinations are shifted. Innately, internally, he's now driven the opposite direction. Kemot she'haya be'et she'lo hayahu gramat chesronot el she'kach notza mikarom. כמו שזכרתי, כל שכן שבהכרח השתדלותו המצטרך עתה, the effort now להגיע לשלמות, הנה הוא כפול, it's double, or at the very least, it's magnified in its difficulty. כי יצטרך תחילה שישוב האדם העולם אל המצב שהיו בראשונה קודם החטא, says Ramchal, says what we need to, this is a Ramchal piece, which I think Rav Kook will not be with, I think, but we'll have to, when we get there, to tease that out. But his statement here is, we need to do a twofold process. Firstly, bring ourselves back to Kodem Eretz HaDaat, and then, and only then, look for Shlemut. In other words, you need to push it back, and then to Shlemut, which...
For Ramchal, I think,
we'll have to discuss it. I think for Ramchal, you need death first. I think for Rav Kook, you don't necessarily. I think you need death first. You need the Olam Haba prior to Tchiyat HaMetim. We'll tease it out when we get there. That's always been my understanding.
Tchiyat HaMetim is Adam HaRishon, Priya Tadam.
Is the ability to, yes. And then working to not eat, you know, that type of thing. Well, Rav Kook, I don't think it's that way. Rav Kook was very much messianic in his vision and saying, we can get there right now. And we're seeing it right now.
According to the Ramchal, Tchiyat HaMetim could theoretically devolve back into Olam Hazir.
Yes, it could go wrong, I think. Okay, we'll get there when we see it, I think. That's my understanding. Without relearning Ramchal, that's my understanding of it. So that's the statement here in Ramchal. Just in brief, to put it all together in just a few sentences here in his final statements in Ot Chet, Ramchal is describing Adam Kodem Eretz HaDaat and Ahar Eretz HaDaat. Kodem Eretz HaDaat, Adam had Bechira. We don't want to use the word chofshit, we'll use the word behira. He was inclined, that's my words for this, toward tov, and his goal was to come to shlemut and then to be nach b'ta'anug, but ultimately didn't make it there. With eating from Eitz HaDaat, I'm injecting, and the motive being, because I didn't have a real process toward that, it was a little too easy for me in this respect, I'm not actually going to be davik. So he pulls himself away, he now creates a reality in which the inclination is the opposite way. That's the world we live in now. And then Ramchal in his final statements will be able to deal with when we get into the later otiyot. Yes,
Shah. Just a question, we're talking about Bechira Chofshit and Adam here. How much Bechira Chofshit did he really have? Because we haven't mentioned to this point that this wasn't a choice he arrived on his own, not to sound pedestrian, but his wife basically gave it to him and said, eat this.
Yeah.
And before that, the Nahash, whatever the Nahash really was, coerced Eve, Hava, into doing this. So really there was a chain of one entity.
You're only speaking out his point from source number, I may have put it in four or something like that. You're only speaking his point in different words. You're saying how much Bechira Chofshit was there. Now, if it comes from the outside, if it comes from the Nahash, if it comes from his wife, it means it wasn't an internal drive. That's very much the point. You're saying the same thing. In other words, it was from external. Once he eats from it, it's now internal. How does the text hint to that? In my mind, I don't know that anyone says this, but this is in my mind. Looking for source number four. So keep in mind, the Nahash is, as the Torah describes in Perikim, Arum. HaNahash haya Arum mikol hayat ha-sadeh ha-sa Adonai Elohim. Now, at the same time, Adam and Hava are also Arumim. However, they don't recognize that Arimu, that Arum. Anmut, what's the adjective for the state of being? Whatever, their nakedness, that state of being the nahash of the gashmi side of matters until they eat from Eitz HaDaat, Pasuk Zayin. V'tipakachna enesh nehem v'yedi'u ki erumim hem. Now they're the erumim. It's a play on those words in the Torah.
Now you're taking something from the outside to clothe yourself and you're making it part of you.
Okay, even better. That's but what not, I'm saying is, I'm, at its I'm first step, you're a step further in terms of having to clothe it afterwards. Yeah. I gotcha. In its initial step, well, what brings us astray? Something external. The arum externally. Point taken. But the external point away. And keep in mind, right, what's the midrash about the begadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, that they're not or, but they're or. You know, it all fits into this. But fundamentally, what I'm saying is, Joe, you're proving the point. Yes, his bechira was diminished, but it was diminished to the extent that it would have been harder for him to go wrong, and that's ultimately what he does.
Ramchal says that was the motivation of Adam.
I'm saying that.
Theoretically, you could say it was the motivation of Hashem.
I'm saying I think others say it. What?
You can theoretically say it was the motivation of
right,
Hashem.
This is the David Salama that God set us up for sin and failure at all points. I am aware.
Not at all points, but
You could, but why wouldn't he make it that way initially? I mean, there's no answer.
Because it's an indication of the... Because Adam HaRishon pre-Etz Hadat is an indication now for somebody
to get there. I got you. So that's a possibility. That's a possibility, and I think it'll work using the exact line of reasoning, and it might even be better, because if it's God's will as opposed to man's will, I mean, the only question is, do we keep calling it chet? How could we keep calling it chet if it was set up? Okay, but you could call it that probably. Yeah, Rob?
I don't think God ever intended the world to be perfect. It was the process.
Of course.
It was the process that the problems you put. Even if you look at Adam HaRishon, how much time did God talk to him after? Just make the shoe last day, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
That's where the lacking is, not the mistake.
I don't know, 100%.
And I don't think it's ever be perfect. Take a simple example of a chess game.
No question. It will never be perfect, but the drive is to get to that state of completion. Do you know what I'm saying?
He reaches perfection, then he has no reason to exist anymore.
Right, but again,
I don't think that's the purpose. You'll never have perfection, so why try?
Perfection is recognized
when you make a mistake and being able to get back on path. That's perfection.
But the point is, you're driving toward that state of being, even though you know it's an unattainable state.
How you got to the motivation?
How you got to that's
his motivation. I want to go backwards to go forward. So
give me a few moments, yeah, okay? First, let me develop what I've gone too far ahead in terms of... So look here in source number two. So source number two, Sha'areh Kedusha. That's Rabbi Chaim Vital. I have not learned Sha'areh Kedusha, just so you know that. Before reading, this was quoted. I know quotations from Sha'areh Kedusha. So that's Rabbi Chaim Vital. Vida, ki ahar shehata Adam HaRishon ve'achal me'etz ha'da'a tovara huberu nafsho ve'gufo gam hem kol echad mitov. After eating, there was this chibur, but I thought they were mechubar already. The description over here is there was this, whereas they were a bit more separate prior to this eating, and as a result, the inclinations were not as much determined in terms of that geshmi side. Now there's this mixture and locked together, and it's now a part of him. Hine kasha hata be'etz hada'a tovara garam ta'arovet hazeh b'chol ha'olamot ve'en lecha davar she'eno kalul mitov v'ra. There's this ta'arovet, there's this mixture, which becomes, of course, what life is about. Now, Nefesh HaChaim, which is the first source that I ever encountered in this respect, and is generally speaking, anytime this concept is discussed, they always quote it from this Nefesh HaChaim, Sha'ar Aleph Perek Vav in the Hagah. So in his note at the bottom of the page, Nefesh HaChaim, of course, would be Chaim of Valojin. So here he's talking at the top about Adam, and then in the note he writes, Zehaya kod mahet. I'm in the fourth line here. Lo haya kalul az rak mikol ha'olamot v'kohot ha'kedusha levad v'lo m'kohot ha'ra. אבל אחר החטא נכללו ונתערבו בו גם כוחות הטומאה והרע. Now, he's probably referencing Rabbi Chaim Vital over here, but he's going to spell it out a little bit stronger. So he says, prior, he seems to say, along the lines of what Jack was suggesting, there was only Kiddusha. Now he says, but not really. Next paragraph. הענן כי קודם החטא, אם כי ודאי שהיה בעל בחירה גמור, he uses that, להטות עצמו לכל אשר יחפוץ, when it comes down to it, he could tilt himself whichever way, להטיב או להפך חס ושלום, כי זה תכלית כוונת כלל הבריאה, when it comes down to it, to use Robbie's words, that's what we're about, making those proper decisions, וגם כי הרי אחר כך חטא, to prove it, he sinned, אמנם לא שהיה עניין בחירתו מחמת שכוחות הרע היו כלולים בתוכו, It wasn't part and parcel of who he was. It wasn't internal. Again, in my mind, the best way to interpret this is he wasn't inclined that way. Ki hu haya adam yashar legamre kalul rak misidre kohot hakedusha levad v'chol inyanav hayu kulam בפני עצמם חוץ ממנו והיה בעל בחירה להיכנס אל כוחות הרחס ושלום. He could have decided one way or another. Next paragraph, ובחטאו שנמשך אחר פיתוי הסתרה אחרה, once he sinned, אז נתערבו הכוחות הרע בתוכו ממש וכן בהעולמות. That's an important word as well. Keep in mind, man being this embodiment of the galaxies, of the worlds beyond, of course means that his sin affects the world at large. We'll have to discuss that at greater length in a bit. Yes, David.
But this metaphysical change of the external becoming the internal, nobody has, they're not like rationally trying to explain how that functions, right? Like this is just a magical type of transformation or an immediate magical?
I think it's somewhat rational. Since he made that decision, since man made that decision, he shifted his metaphysical being. By making that jump, by deciding to go after the Homer, after the Ra, he shifted his trajectory. That's how I understand it. And that type of statement has been made by Ramchal and Nefesh HaHayim, that through the sin, he altered that.
When we keep saying that it's an...
Oh, so it wasn't a punishment, it was his transformation.
Okay, the opinion seems to be that there's an external, it has to be external. So we cannot read, according to the way we're reading Ramchal, we cannot say that the snake is the Yetzer Hara or something. It has to be an external.
Why is
that external?
Again, right now, you're in this what seems like equal circumstance. I don't know. You're in some situation where you could do the greatest thing or the worst thing, and it's your decision. Right. Now, which way are you inclined? I don't know about you. I'll talk about me. I'm not as big a tzaddik as you, right? So I'm inclined to do the bad. I have to overcome it. Now, that means, in the words of external and internal, that means internally, that's the words how I'm understanding it. Internally, I have that yetzara part and parcel of who I am. The yetzara tov is out there. It's an ideal. It's something I want to go after. So yeah, the nahash is separate from him. That is the imagery because it's...
Because he's inclined to good.
Because he's inclined to good. That's,
so the yetzara wasn't part of him. It's like the nahash became part of him.
And that was Joe's point, inadvertently just a few minutes ago. Right? It was that is the point. And then that was my point from these pesukim afterwards, that the nahash, who was the arum, now becomes a man who's the Irum. Right. That's exactly my understanding of that. So that all being the case, just a little bit more.
And that's why you have to cut the thing. You have to take off that, the Irum branch.
Hang on. So that all being the case, that you might recall, or you might not recall, that at some point, for whatever reason, in a speech on Yom Kippur this year, I referenced this concept. Now, I didn't flesh it out, obviously not, and I didn't even use it in the way I'm using it now, but I mentioned the following imagery from Pachad Yitzhak, from Rabbi Huttner, here in source number 5, in Ma'amar Yod Zayin Ot Yod Gimal. This was, when I read it, I remember for me, an eye-opener in that respect. He says, well, look at two of the outcomes of eating from Eitz HaDa'at. One is, b'ze'ata pecha toch alechem. The other one is, kotz v'dardar tasmiach lach. Well, let's go one by one. B'ze'ata pecha toch alechem. Now, the scientists in the room might object to this. And if you do, what do you want me to tell you? I'll just tell you. So then it's wrong. I mean, but I can accept his science for now. Anyway, so he makes the following statement. He says, sweat is... Well, let's read in his words. Look at the second paragraph. Again, what do the words mean? By the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. Well, somehow, the toilet... So generally, the peshat over here is, it'll be more difficult life. The description is, by the sweat of your brow. He says, well, think about what sweat is to man. Sweat is something, well, that comes out of us because it's excess. I know someone's going to tell me that that's wrong, but that's his statement. Is that wrong?
Very
wrong.
To cool you off. Your body's trying to cool you off.
But it's not a part of you.
The what? The water is
But is it supposed to be a part of you?
Yeah, that's why you pass out in the heat.
Okay, give him a chance anyway. Like I said, I knew people would. V'im ken, he says, look in this second paragraph, the third line. All right, so then we'll disregard this, but let's read it. Maybe I'm mis-explaining it. Im ken, maya kavana benosa hakilala shehayegia vehatorach mitbati'im ken besiur shel ze'at hapanim. What is it about the sweat in this punishment? Ubaruru shehakavana bekan hi le'otah hanaha mekubelet biyader mipihem shel sarei HaKodesh. He's quoting all the Kabbalists we mentioned earlier. Alinyan hahit aruvot shenit hadesh ba'olam. Right, that's the change in balance after eating. V'asher adken gam b'kilat kalala al oto het hu malbish et gufa shel haklala b'siyur shel ze'at hapanim. Here it is. Ki alken en haze'a ela pe'ulat hotza'at hapsolet mitoch haguf el mechutz laguf. He says what sweat is, it's taking excess and flushing it out of your body.
That's true, though. When you go to the Schwitz, you're getting the toxins out of your body.
Yeah, it does that's true. Release toxins.
You go to the toxins.
All right, I will leave this to the scientists. However, his imagery, so I have no problem with his suggestion over here, because the Torah is not speaking to doctors, but Torah is speaking to simple people. A simple person like me really doesn't want to sweat, and as such, I see sweat as excess. So the description over here is that which was the excess now becomes part and parcel of who you are. You now have the external, the thing that you believe doesn't belong in you, becomes a part of you. That's the imagery. Similarly, says Rav Hutner, that's the kotz v'dardar tatzmiach lach. Why? What? Again, now the botanists will get angry. What? But I'm talking. He's speaking purposefully as a simple person here, right? And by the way,
I said I believe it.
Okay, and I preempted that the scientist. I knew scientists would get angry. Anyway,
those are the
what about kotz v'dardar? He says kotz and dardar, the thorns and thickets and all that sort of stuff that hinders the growth of fruit. Someone's going to tell me, no, it aids their growth. Okay, simple person, it holds back their growth. Yes. Now that means that they are excessive to the growth of vegetation and fruits and all that sort of stuff. The description now is your future growth, the ground, will now grow through that, or will need to grow in tandem with the things that seem like they should be separate. Again, the Yetzer Hara, as we're describing it, being on the outside, is now part and parcel. That's the Kotz V'Dardar now being a part of the growth. That's the Ze'ah, which should be separate, now being a part of who you are. Let's rephrase the sweat even. B'Ze'at HaPecha Toch HaLechem, maybe you can imagine it like this. Now, instead of the sweat coming out, it's now part of your work. Regardless, that's his imagery. Take it or leave it. I always was impressed by that. That all being the case, it brings us one step forward. Ramban Nachmanian is Perusha la Torah and Perek Bet, Pasuk Tet, Sefer Bereshit, Parashat Bereshit, has this crazy statement for which he gets killed. He says, Adam, prior to eating from Eitz Hadat, for him, Da'at means Rason, means will. He says, the ability to have will, freedom of will, was born through eating from Eitz Hadat. So he's killed for this. The most basic question, the Maimonidean type of question, it's asked by Akedah Yitzhak and others, is what are you talking about? Man was built, was created without a freedom of choice? How could that be? What is man if not a free choice being? Otherwise he's an angel or he's an animal or something of that sort. Secondly, how do you eat from Eitz Hadat then? And of course, in light of everything we've developed here in source number 7, in Michtav Me'eliyahu, that's Rabbi Eliyahu Eliezer Dessler, Zichrono Livracha, in his Chelik Bet on page 138, he makes the suggestion along the lines of what we've been developing, and that is, listen, Adam, even according to Ramban Nachmani, had Bechira Chofshit. It was just as we've described, and it's not far-fetched over here. Ramban was quite the Kabbalist, as we're well aware. So it was just separate from him. It was just external. It was separate in the respect that it wasn't his inclination. His inclination was to the Tob. Through eating from Eitz Hadat, Now he got the Bechira Chofshit of Etz Hadat Tov V'ra. The Ra now became part and parcel of who he was as well. That all being the case, piecing everything together, I now make my way to the... Oh, before I go further, that answers, I think, Itai Lahav's question as well. Itai Lahav asked on Meshech Chochman, that description of Moshe Rabbeinu coming to the state of being during which he had no Bechira Chofshit, so how did he sin? The answer is, even when you, quote, don't have that Bechira Chofshit, it's not full-fledged Bechira Chofshit. When Harambam said he was Kim Malachei HaSharet, the Kafa Dimayon is the Ikar over. He was like them. He wasn't actually no capability of deciding. It was just more distant from him. He had brought himself to the state of being during which the inclination was to Tov as opposed to Ra. That all being the case, I make my way to the last argument that I made, and that was, and we'll refine it based on David's statement from earlier, and that was, well, what's the motive behind this eating? So now we can define this either as man's motive or as God's motive in setting up man, if you want to go down that route. And so my suggestion, and I'll flesh it out just a little bit further over here, is that this paved the ground for process in life. So to give you a little bit of a demonstration of that, we've been discussing it all along. In Derech Hashem, Ramchal is not as strong as he is in Mesilat Yesharim and in Da'at Tivunot about this concept. The concept is, in Derech Hashem, he keeps saying that we need the freedom of choice in order to come to Shlemut. You can't be complete if you don't have the capability to choose either way. He goes a little bit further in Da'at Tivunot and Mesilat Yesharim. He quotes from Talmud Yerushalmi. Generally speaking, the Mekubalim use the word Nahamad Kisufa. Nahamad Kisufa means the bread of embarrassment. It's embarrassing to just be given presents all the time. If the bread was served up to man, that's an embarrassing state of being. God wanted to create a state of being for man where it would be an achievement, where he would need to go through the process and come to the attainment of Shlemut. And so it means to say, even if you could redefine Shlemut as something that you don't need to achieve, but when it comes down to it, is that an achievement? That's Nahamad de Kisufa. That being the case, this will for a process, this goal at having a system in which man needs to come to that, that's what Eitz HaDa'at helped man do. That's what brought us to a state of being during which we were further from being inclined toward the Tov.
Because then if you take away the element of time there, what you're basically saying is that man is inclined to...
Ra mine'urav.
No, but even Adam HaRishon.
B'shagam hu basar, by the way. B'shagam hu basar, we're basar.
If you're saying Adam HaRishon pre-et ha-da'at had this motivation
to Tov.
No.
Yes.
You're saying the opposite.
No.
Yes, you're saying he had the motivation to process, to achievement, to wanting to make up that gap.
Yeah, the
Nachash got into it. So that means he was motivated to go the wrong way.
No, it means that, come on, even if you tilt it one way, if you give it enough contemplation, if you overcome it enough, if you let your material side take control of you, if you do the Aver Alishma, so it's capable, it's not as easy. There it is. So develop this just a little bit further in terms of just demonstrating this just from rabbinic sources, this type of concept of prior to Eitz HaDa'at there being less of a process, and after Eitz HaDa'at there now being that paved road toward having to go through that process. So this is a well-known midrash. It's not fully stated, but it's, you have to understand it through between the lines. In Bereshit Rabbah, in Perek Yotet and Ot Yotbet, Amar Bi Abba Bar Kahanat, that's when Adam is confronted by God about eating from Eitz HaDa'at, he says, well, the woman gave it to me, va'ochel. He doesn't say ve'achalti. Amar bi abba bar kana ve'achalti, which is in past tense, lo en ketiv kan. It doesn't say the nahash, the Chava gave it to me and I ate. Rather, what does the pasuk say? Va'ochel, which seems to imply, I would eat it. I'll continue eating from it. In other words, I knew exactly what I was doing. I was purposeful in this respect. But you got to be able to understand.
You can't say he's 70-30 Tov versus Ra if he's motivated.
Let's do a 51-49. And that one, whatever the numbers are in this respect. Come on, it's not so far off.
Available to him to make the choice to choose.
And what I'm suggesting further is.
So is it supposed to be that way?
That's a question I don't know. That's what David wants to argue. Yes. What
I'm. Man will always go towards the negative because they want to create a
reality of positive.
A more something that will satisfy them more to go
of
all
course.
The way back.
Of course, of course, of course, which as we know, as I what am I about to mention? Of course, the danger of Kabbalah in this respect, because this concept of Avera Lishma brings to all sorts of hedonistic desires and tendencies, because man will say to himself, I'm doing X, Y, and Z in order to change everything and bring it back. And we need to go really low in order to bring ourselves really high. That's pretty dangerous.
Wasn't that the purpose of the Frankist movement?
Frankists, the Sabbateans, and so on and so forth. All those messed up realities. Of course, the Frankists were a little bit more Christian influenced. The Sabbateans were Kabbalistically inclined.
That's the MO of everything.
Although Jacob Frank knew his Kabbalah initially. What's that? Of course, and this, but of course, this was one of the major fears of Hasidut at its inception as well. What are you guys doing? You're telling people, for example, in today's manifestations, right? In today's manifestations, if you were to go, and I'm not putting them down. Other things I could put them down about, but not this. Yeah, necessarily. In Chabad, they pray. I remember as a child when I was in high school, I was sitting in a store. I don't know, we were talking about Chabad Hasidut. And we were saying, they pray so late. It was me and my friends, very religious boys. So they pray so late. There was some woman on the table nearby, and she says, before the Rebbe used to daven at 9:45 or 10 o'clock or something like that. My husband davened in his minyan every single day. You know, it didn't make anything better in that respect, but it was a statement. The statement is, we are willing to forego Zman Kiryat Shema because we'll have greater Kavana by praying later. You're playing with the system to a certain extent. That's a dangerous thing to do. I'm not telling you it's not something in an ideal world you shouldn't be doing, but it's dangerous because we're human beings with tendencies. Anyway, in terms of getting to this process bit, the Gemara... Go ahead.
It's okay for the Rebbe because he understood the game. So he can play with it. It's just like Shlomo Melech when he wanted to change things. He wanted to get rid of the kesef and put the gold.
Rabbi, they'll do this for other reasons.
But he couldn't, right? Hashukehem, all that.
I understand what I'm saying is
that's
even...
the danger.
Understood. Now, in terms of getting to this process point, the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, take a look at this. The Gemara describes the first day of creation in the eyes of the Chachamim. In the eighth hour after creation of Hava, Sheminit Alu L'mita Shenayim, the two of them went up to a bed, V'yardu, and they come out of the bed, Arba'a, which means there was no process. They slept in a bed, walked into a bed, came out, and there were four. It means the process of procreation, the process of having to bear the baby, the difficulties entailed in it, which of course is one of, quote, the punishments of eating from Eitz HaDaat, was non-existent. So far are we from this reality that many of the poskim argue today, haram, hazatom, a couple who can't have children, have they not fulfilled the mitzvah peru urvu? Now they don't do it just based on logic. They do it based on sources, rabbinic sources as well. But just think about the logic. The logic is that everything in the Torah is accessible for us to attain. It wouldn't be a mitzvah otherwise. But it's a couple who can't have a child. So you tell me they can't achieve, they can't fulfill that mitzvah? The argument of many, Har Sevir, Bitzvi Pesach Frank, but I recently read that in the last 500 years, it's been stated 20 plus times, this concept, the mitzvah of Peru Urvu is the Hit'askut, is the process. In other words, the outcome when Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel debate, is it one son and one daughter, or two and two, or two and whatever the circumstance is, those that Mahlog Masech Yevamot, the description over there is, well, when you hit your limit in terms of you fulfilled it.
You want
to
start
but to perform the mitzvah, it's the hit'askut. Without it. So in other words, we've come so far in that respect. But again, prior to eating from Eitz HaDaat, description of the Gemara is no process, immediate. In fact, and we don't need to review this, but we will very briefly, right? We talk about it all the time. The Eitz Piri, Ose Piri, Rashi in his Perush al HaTorah has this fantastic description of the tree's supposed, their supposed command from God was that the trees taste the same as the Piri, right? The Eitz Piri, Ose Piri, and the Mino. So they're supposed to taste the same, but they didn't do that. Rather, the fruits tasted good and the bark didn't taste good. And therefore, says Rashi, not only was man punished, but the ground was punished as well. The ground was punished. Rav Huttner helped us with Kotz V'Dardar in terms of some sort of reality which is fixing that earlier, quote, sin. But what is it? But what is it?
allowed for the evolution. It's not that it was...
Which only supports David's type of point. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, maybe that's the way it was supposed to go. Regardless, what's the description of there? As Rav Kook tells us in Orot HaTeshubah, in Perek Vav Od Zayin, says Rav Kook, the fruit, the good-tasting fruit, is the outcome. The way to get there is the process. The process and outcome were supposed to be one and the same. The bark was supposed to taste the same as the fruit because the process and outcome were supposed to be one and the same. Ultimately speaking, however, it was not so. By eating from Eitz HaDa'at, or the ground itself in some way or fashion, set forth a reality in which the world we inhabit, the world we live in, is a world of process. Pause for a second, and here's the conclusion. But one second. I understand, which it's not a problem necessarily. What I'm saying is it's a nod to David.
That's the way it was.
That's a nod to David, the way it was supposed to.
The universe is that way.
That's a suggestion.
So that's why Adam chose that way.
Okay, one of two. Either the world was leading him that way, or he was supposed to go that way. Now, that all being the case, wait a second. What about Etz HaChayim? If God likes this process, so why does he banish us from Gan Eden? Taking away our capability? But the Pasuk says, as Jack says in source number 13, HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws us out because, and here it is in Pasuk, Chafbet, Vayom Alano Elohim, Hena Adam Ayake, Had Menon Lada, Tovara, Ve'ata, Pen Yishlach Yado, Lakach Gamer, Etz HaChayim, Yishlach Yado means it's so close, he can just grab Etz HaChayim. Etz HaChayim, of course, is symbolic over here of that Shlemut, that ability, he would have no process. And so therefore he's thrown out, and there's guards to the Etz HaChayim, Lishmor Derech Etz HaChayim. We are not banished from making our way to Etz HaChayim. Our goal in life, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us through Moshe and Sefer Devarim, is U'bacharta b'chayim, here in source number 14, we're supposed to choose life. The Pasuk in Sefer Mishlei tells the Torah, the Etz HaChayim hi l'mahazikim ba. Harambam portrays this in his Hilchot Teshuvah as well. The Etz HaChayim becomes a process, the world as we know it, which we're striving toward. Which means we were never banished from Etz HaChayim, we were banished from the immature, easy situation in which it's right there. And instead, listen, your sin, your inclination is for there to be a process. Indeed, there will be a process. There won't be a pen yashit yado. Instead, there'll be this long process of making your way toward that. Amen. Amen.